Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hindal Dah, and I am here with...
Abdul Majid.
Abdul Majid, how are you today?
I'm good.
Yes. So, happy Monday morning, everybody. This weekend, we've had a lot of business stories coming in. Saudi Arabia updates investment law, UAE amends anti-money laundering laws, and ADQ invests $1 billion in Sotheby's. Before that, let's begin with Elon Musk replying to a tweet by Hassan Sajwani, which is in relation to providing Starlink to help the Emirati field hospital in Gaza, to help people in Gaza. And it was set up by the UAE, I think, Dubai recently. And it's good that, you know, Starlink is an internet access. It's its own satellite, so it'll help people. Hopefully, to people
statement
in Gaza.
A lot of people are saying on the internet that the statement is quite controversial because he has had a different line of comments on this matter, the Gaza genocide. But now he's saying that he hopes to do more for people in Gaza. So yeah, coming from him, I don't know. Elon Musk says so much nowadays.
There's not much expectation from
the value to his comments has become lesser and lesser by the day. The owning a social media platform doesn't mean that you have to comment on everything, I guess. And let's move to a very, very exciting news. Not for me, not for him, but for my son, actually.
Well, for me also.
Yeah, for us also, I guess. Yeah. Disney has announced a lot of theme park attractions. They've announced a lot of trailers to the new movies. But how does it concern, how is it connected to business? They recently reported that the number of visitors... to their theme parks have been falling, and not drastically, but they have seen a very comparable and very significant decrease in the number of visitors. So I guess it's a two-pronged approach. One of it is that they want to like experiment with new forms of movies. They have announced a lot of new movies. Then they've announced Moana 2. Very excited for that. They've announced Monstrosity. Basically Monster
yes.
Inc. City. So yeah, that's also there. So it's going to be fun for the kids,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, of course. It's obviously nice to have their main theme parks, which I think are very iconic to people who visit Disneyland or who know about Disneyland. But to add these new attractions, especially about movies that have been done quite a while before. So Monsters, Inc. was released many, many years ago.
2002.
Yes, yes.
It's
but it makes
old.
Me excited because I love that movie. That's one of my favorite Disney movies. So to be able to see it in a theme park, I think would spark the child in me again. And I think many people as well.
Also, the old tales of Disney, the older ones, Snow White, and all the stories that we've heard
yes.
growing up. People have visited Disney theme parks so much that they've gotten bored of it, I guess. Now and they want something new. They want the new products, the new movies, the new stars of Disney to appear in theme parks, and that is why this expansion is maybe taking place. So let's see. Hopefully it's good for the kids, mm-hmm. but bad for our pockets.
On other news, the Olympics ended yesterday and Arab athletes won 17 medals, so that is one medal less from last 4 years ago,
2020 Tokyo,
from Tokyo's Olympics. So Bahrain won with the most medals, then comes
four.
With four medals, true. Then comes Algeria, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Jordan, and Qatar. On other Olympic-related news, Iman Khalif, who is the Algerian boxer, filed a legal complaint for online harassment in the Paris court. Now, if you've all been on social media recently, we have seen all these waves of criticism against Iman Khalif, people claiming that she is not a woman or she may be trans or whatever, everything, you know, a lot of criticism about what her gender is. And so...
But she's a foreign female. After that Italian boxer complained, I guess the Europeans can't take a punch, but after she complained and this whole controversy started, we've seen a lot of, I would say it's Islamophobia It's regionophobia, I guess. It's the hate against the Middle East or the Arab athletes that came to the front in Paris 2024, to be honest. And Paris, to be honest, will be remembered for doing more things wrong than doing things right.
Yes.
And this Olympics, hopefully the closing ceremony was good. I saw it. It was good, but there were a lot of questions about it as well, that maybe they changed it because the opening ceremony saw so many controversies. So let's hope Paris 2024 is a sign for Los Angeles, is a template for Los Angeles, the next Olympics,
that
don't do
Olympics.
This. Mm-hmm. Don't do this.
I highly doubt that. Yeah. Los Angeles is known for being very eccentric and very different kinds of people. So I don't think that.
Maybe their opening ceremony will be a casino themed opening ceremony.
We'll see the next 4 years.
But these are like the small news, the chit chats that happened over the weekend. Let's move on to the main news that we have, the main business core news. First of all, let's talk about Saudi Arabia and their Vision 2030. Saudi Arabia has revamped its investment law, and the move has come to attract more foreign investors. That's the line that they've been towing for a long time now, and the new investment law, which will be applicable from 2025, will come into effect and will help foreign investors move into the country, move their money into the country, and use that to obviously make money from money, in simple words. So the revised legislation is designed to create more transparent, secure, and investor-friendly environment, aligning with global standards and enhancing the kingdom's appeal as a premier investment destination. They have a target of amount like $300 billion to earn by 2030, according to the Saudi Vision 2030. So to achieve that, they're trying everything. They're turning all the stones. They're trying their best to bring in as much money as possible and reach that target.
And this law will simplify business operations, as well as it will improve transparency. It also enhance protections. So the stronger safeguards for investments were introduced, and it will focus on the rule of law, fair treatment for local Saudis and non-locals, and also protection of property and intellectual property rights. Again, it will simplify the processes, so the previous complex licensing system will be replaced with a more straightforward registration process, and will be supported by new service centers to speed up government transactions. There will also be fair competition with, you know, the law will ensure equal treatment for domestic and international investors. So that's a really good sign, because Saudis make up the majority of the country. And so with foreign investors coming in, they will have fair competition and a competitive market environment. As well as that, the investors will gain access to advanced dispute resolution mechanisms, such as the Saudi Arbitration Center. And it will also be in alignment with international standards. So the law would be in alignment with the GCC and World Trade Organization standards, and also other international agreements.
So I guess the revamped investment law is basically the step to boost foreign direct investment. They want more people to come in, more money to come in, and they've also highlighted that there will be some special economic zones that will be formed also under this new strategy, new investment law. And the important part is, what I saw, there was a number, very important number, that between 2017 and 2023, the foreign direct investment has surged in Saudi Arabia, 158% increase. It's not a small number, it's a very big number, and the term is like 6 years. So in 6 years, 158% increase, foreign direct investment shows that Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 is working for them, is bringing in a lot of money, is bringing in a lot of money in a lot of sectors. It's not just oil and gas that Saudi and the Middle East is famous for, that they are sitting on this gold and they always earn their money and their riches are because of this. They're diversifying their portfolios, they're diversifying the sources of income. And this investment law change will hopefully, and most surely will change Saudi Arabia for good.
Yes, it will change its investment landscape. And I think the law is very attractive to foreign investors.
Yeah.
Moving on to our second news of the day. UAE amends anti-money laundering laws. We spoke about the anti-money laundering laws in the UAE previously. On Friday, we talked about how the UAE was cracking down on gold refineries. So the UAE has introduced significant amendments to its anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing laws as part of its ongoing efforts to combat financial crime. These changes will aim to strengthen the country's compliance with international treaties and enhance the effectiveness of its strategies against money laundering, terrorism financing, and other illegal activities.
So the key highlights that I found in this new law, Hind, to be honest, it was a comprehensive new decree. Mainly, it's that there was a national committee for anti-money laundering and combating the financing of terrorism and illegal organizations. So now they've placed a supreme committee over it for the oversight of the national strategy for anti-money laundering and counterterrorism financing and illegal organizations. So this is a move which will intensify the UAE's efforts. They recently came out of the grey list of the FATF in February 2024, if I remember correctly. And they're trying their best to not go back to the grey list. So it has three lists, black, grey, and white. Now they're in the white list. They've updated this new law update. Surely makes it worthwhile. It surely makes it a good improvement from what UAE had. And now, obviously, we'll see the effects soon enough. They fined a bank, and the bank was also involved in some anti-money laundering violations. So they're doing their best. They don't want any money laundering happening in the UAE. They don't want any counterterrorism financing or financing for terrorism going there. So it's a good move. The last time we talked about it was when they banned three gold refineries for 32 gold refineries for 3 months. So the month term will end in October. That's a good sign. Again,
hopefully it will divert other people from doing the
and
same.
Make the financial task force, the FATF, happy. Yes. And avoid UAE from going back to the gray zone.
Yes. So the amendments to the UAE's and anti-money laundering and counterterrorism financing laws reflects the UAE's commitment to combating financial crime and aligning with international standards, like Majid said. The establishment of dedicated committees will enhance the oversight and effectiveness of these efforts. Also, the strict enforcement actions, which include fines and suspensions and bans, demonstrate the UAE's zero-tolerance policy towards non-compliance. The country's removal from the FATF grey list marks a significant milestone in its efforts to improve financial integrity and attract global investment. I think that's good also because when people wanting to invest in the UAE know that the country is taking these anti-money laundering laws seriously, it will become more attractive to them, and so it will bring in more investors.
The European Union, when they do trade with any country, they have this a whole document which you have to follow. So it'll be good for UAE's trade with Europe, that because they have very strict laws. You have to empower your women. There's very varying types of codes and things that you have to follow before you do trade. And Europe also has it's funny that they also have a category system where if you're in the higher category, you pay less tax, and if you're in the lower category. So UAE most probably will move up in that category.
Doing
business with Europe will become cheaper, and obviously the country will save more money. Let's move on to our last story for today. It's a very interesting story. Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund, the ADQ, has invested $1 billion in Sotheby's. Now, what is Sotheby's? Sotheby's is a fine arts and auction, it's an auction house for fine art and luxury goods. So what they've done is they've invested $1 billion in the newly launched shares. And some key highlights, Hind has a lot of key highlights for us from that move.
So this investment by the ADQ will support Sotheby's innovation and its plan. It plans to be a bigger
powerhouse in the Middle East because they have their presence here as well.
It would also, because the ADQ has acquired newly issued shares, And Patrick Drahi, who is the owner of Sotheby's, who bought Sotheby's, excuse me, in 2019, will remain the majority owner, but also contribute additional funds. This investment is also aligns with ADQ's goal of making investments that support Abu Dhabi's economic diversification and also enhance its arts and culture sector, because in recent years, in the coming months, actually, we've going to experience a big move by Abu Dhabi, where there will be a sort of a town of, if you will, of arts and cultures. So
nice.
The Guggenheim Museum will be opened in Abu Dhabi hopefully soon, as well as the National Museum.
And they already have the Louvre, I guess.
We have the Louvre, which opened a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I think this is a very strategic move by the ADQ.
And they're diversifying their portfolio. We've always talked about this. The UAE does not want to rely on oil and gas. They want to move out. They've already invested in tourism a lot. They've invested in real estate every day. Yesterday, I saw a report that Sharjah's numbers in the month of June alone rose. So they did like $30 billion of business. Mm-hmm. So all these things are showing that it's not just all the eggs in one basket. They've placed all their eggs in all different baskets. And it's a good sign, good move by the ADQ that they've invested in arts and culture. We were talking about it, that I'm not a big art fan. I think
but
it's
I
a
am.
Tool for something wrong. But she believes that art is art.
I think there it could be that, but it also will provide people with the, especially in the UAE, to see art from different parts of the world. And it's a good investment opportunity. Like
she
said,
also told me the history of Middle Eastern art, that the 20s?
In the 20th century, I think, has the most fascinating facets of art. So it would be different styles, but also have kind of the political and the social aspect, which I don't think we see that much nowadays.
So you can go Google 20th century Middle Eastern?
Or you can just politics and modern Middle Eastern art.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Go. That's food for your thought. Go enjoy, Google it, and see that UAE and Middle East were also famous for art. The UAE has been famous for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Our literary work
poems
has
especially.
Been great. The poems, they've been great. We don't read it much because we can't speak Arabic, mm-hmm. but obviously we'll read the translation. Read the translation soon.
But it is a big thing in the UAE where I think, I don't know if it's still ongoing, but we have poem contests, which is
nice.
Very interesting, yes.
Nice. So, yes, that's it for today. We've covered nearly everything that happened over the weekend and in the morning today. Let's hopefully see you tomorrow by 10 a.m. UAE time. And we'll come up with all the latest news from the tech industry, from startups, from the main big players. We'll bring all the news. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Follow us everywhere you can find us, Instagram, Facebook, and try to keep up with the world of technology, finance, and everything. Thank you. Take
care.
Thank
you, everybody.
See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.